Coach Parks. How are you doing?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Do you know what the footballs have to be PSI wise in junior football?
It's funny. Like, I just, you know, obviously we're all inundated with this stuff, but I never knew the actual what that proper PSI was. But it's just kind of funny because even in, like, at our league, the referees do a good job. We have to hand over our game balls to them, and you know, if one's underinflated or overinflated, they'll actually make you take it to their specification. So it's just amusing that at that level, that, you know, a referee spotting the ball, if it was such a big deal, wouldn't have noticed something and you know, said something or switched the balls out.
Exactly. So, have you played the game? Did you ever think it made that big of a difference?
No, I mean, sometimes I think the way that the media is running with this, I think I'm a little bit of a backwards thinker. It's, you know, I look at it as whatever it is. If it gave an advantage, I can't see how. You know, I look at it growing up, it's the same thing. And there's a rule in with, like, I know I've heard you talk about, there's already a rule in the books and it's a fine. I just don't understand how it got blown out of proportion. I could imagine if all of a sudden they measure a goalie's hockey glove in the playoff game and then suspend him for the rest of the playoffs because it was oversized, what the reaction would be. So I don't understand why they had to go to this big, to such a big deal, but it's interesting, that's for sure.
For your football team heading into this season, what's the biggest question mark on your team as far as voids from losing you know, veterans to either retirement or moving on to age or moving to CIS?
Yeah, we graduated a lot of players off of our defensive side. It's kind of funny. We were talking, we can't seem to get you know, both sides of the ball loaded with veterans. Last year we had four defensive linemen who were all in their fifth year, and we're really the leaders of our club off the field and on. And you know, graduating those guys, it's left a big vacuum. But it's been really exciting. We do a lot of in the community stuff during the off season, and the young guys have stepped up. And you know, we still got a fifth year guy in Marcus Goods, who's probably the best one tech in our conference, in our league, and he's going to be there for the leadership. And it's just going to be interesting. I think it's defense is the one spot in terms of you know, the sides of the ball that you can be a little bit younger. You can be aggressive and try and, you know, put the young kids in a position to make plays. But, yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's kind of exciting because we've been so used to having the same group of kids back there, and now we've turned it over, and you know, we're potentially going to have probably seven new starters or six new starters on the defensive side of the ball. So it should be fun.
When you head into this season, I talked to Coach Ian McLean from the Huskies earlier, and he's, you know, obviously the league's more competitive, I think, now 1 through 6 than it has been in the past few seasons. Why is that? Because there used to sometimes be a you know, some clear separation for years. The Huskies were terrible, and the Calgary Colts were terrible before that, but there doesn't seem to be a real weak sister anymore. How come?
Well, you know, I think a little bit has to do with the eligibility rules that came into place probably 4 years ago. And players having to, you know, make that decision whether they play their 5 years a junior or not. But honestly, I think that there's just been such a great job in our league of having stability with amongst all the organizations. I think, you know, I've been with the Wildcats for 17 years, and you know, every organization has so many people that have been around as long as myself, if not longer. And it's just, I think we all kind of understand what it takes to be successful at our level and how we can take kids and develop them, move them on if we want to, but also providing them with all the opportunities that they need to, you know, to try and reach their goals on and off the field. But yeah, it is. If we're a developmental league, it's the best developmental league in Canada because it is so tight. And I was just talking to some. We have a couple players who played in the BC league, and unfortunately, they had a couple scores this past weekend, which were like 72-0 and 72-7. And I just said, you know, you're not going to get any of those games in our league. Like, every week's going to be a dogfight. And I think that's, you know, what the players want.
Well, yeah, blowouts are every now and then, sure, if it's an anomaly game and if you can blow out a rivalry, yes, you enjoy it. But you don't necessarily get better as a player if you're playing inferior talent all the time at the junior level.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we say, we like our, especially in the PFC, you know, most of the teams have such great relationships with their CFL partner. You know, we've had a couple players already out with the Eskimos practicing. I know... you know, the Rough Riders do the same with the Thunder. Calgary does a great job. So, like, we tell our guys every week, you're going to go against someone who's been at a pro camp, who's, you know, who's close to reaching that goal, and you're going to be able to line up against them, and you're only going to get better. And ultimately, you know, the players that accept that challenge and kind of put the work in are going to reach that. And we've seen, we've had lots of players who have done it and lots of players who've gone on and moved to the CIS. And that's ultimately what we're about as an organization.
Any changes on your coaching staff this year?
We are very fortunate. We added Dave Easley. Dave was he's been coaching for probably 35 years. He was the only guy in Canada that we know of that's won a junior championship, a CIS championship, and he won two Grey Cups as a coach. He's been a coordinator in the CFL. He's coordinated special teams and defenses, and we just got lucky that he kind of retired and moved back to Edmonton and was missing the game. So we brought him on board, and he's just been awesome in terms, not only with the players, but with the coaches, with his wealth of experience. We added Franz Clarkson, who was a former Eskimo, and Franz had coached with us for 4 years previously and then went on to the U of A and UBC, and he's back in town now. So, again, we've added some really good veteran coaches, and then we added a young coach, Jason McLean, who was coaching high school here in Edmonton, and it's great. Like, all those three guys bring a lot of different perspectives to our group. It's something that we do. Like I said, we've got lots of coaches who have been around our team for a long time, and sometimes you need those that new blood into your coach's room just to make you look at things a different way.
Yeah, I asked you that because you've had the ability to keep guys together for quite some time, and that creates stability, which a lot of people like, from coaches to the players themselves. But I was going to ask you, the balance that between not getting stagnant, is it just bringing in a new coach, or sometimes do you and your coaches who've been together for a long time, do you try to think outside the box and just say, okay, we got to come up with something different?
Yeah, like sometimes a good point is what we're kind of doing offensively. We brought in Jeff Stead a couple of years ago, and he's had success as a coordinator in the CIS, and he's definitely got his vision of what an offense is like, and we've worked him in with Greg Tishka, who's been around for 17 years as well, and he's the offensive coordinator. So it's just challenging each other to for us not to stay the same. We were pretty predictable in terms of what we were doing. We were still a pretty run orientated offense, and we've had great success doing that. And that's kind of been our MO for the past 3 or 4 years. But we're trying to move into, getting those athletes. Like, we've got a lot of athletes on the field that we're going to try and get into space and create those mismatches. And I think that having, those conversations and ultimately it comes down to is you have to look at what you have on your roster and not fit players into what you do, but be able to create systems and plays that are going to help those players that you have.
Darcy Park, head coach of the Edmonton Wildcats, joins us. Darcy, you talked about the strengths of your team. Is there any area that you feel for your team to go and win the championship you have to improve specifically? Was it offense? Was it special teams? Was it defense? What's the one area as a group you look at to say we have to improve there if we're going to win the PFC and go on to the national title?
Well, I think one of the things is, for the first time in a while, I used to coordinate special teams for the last 15 years, and I kind of stepped away from that. We have Sean Reeder, who's been around and coordinated at the CIS level, and we brought him on, and I kind of gave him the reins because as a head coach, there was just so much on my plate in terms of all the other things that go along with putting a team together that, I felt last year that maybe I didn't do a service enough for our athletes. And once I handed it over to Sean and saw the things that he's doing, I think it's going to be a huge upgrade. Like I said, I think we've got our players, our veteran players back, know what's expected of them. I think now that there's a new coordinator at special teams, that's going to be something new for our veterans to get excited about. And I think that Sean will do an unbelievable job of preparing them. And, that's going to be the difference in a lot of these tight games. I think last year we lost, two games by... basically it was special teams either giving up a big return or having momentum and on the following kickoff giving up that big play that kind of takes the momentum away. So I think having someone solely responsible for that is going to be able to really get the players energized and have them prepared to, make every play count.
Darcy, do you do 2-a-days at the junior level for training camp?
Yeah, we're starting, we have the 50-50 on Friday, so that kind of changes the way we were doing things. So we have basically a team meeting tomorrow night where we get everyone together and we kind of go big picture. We do a lot of setting the expectations and goals for our team. And then we bring in a guest speaker who kind of you know, it isn't related to football, but just gives us a little bit of perspective on life and things that will help you be successful. And then Friday, the majority of our guys are going to be at that 50-50 at the Eskimo game. And Saturday and Sunday, we'll go 2-a-days. And we're going to go, like, you know, I got to see the Eskimos do their back-to-back, so we're going to do that. I think it's outstanding, a way to get a lot accomplished and not, you know, kind of kill a whole day and allow coaches time to break down the practice film afterwards. So we'll go 2 practices on Saturday and Sunday. And then on Monday, we'll get kind of back into our regular schedule of being in the evenings and getting prepared for our little exhibition game against the Huskies. And then getting ready to play the Huskies in week 1.
Well, it should be interesting. Always great to start the season with a crosstown rival. Both the alumni of the Huskies and Wildcats looking forward to it. August 15th at Clark Park should be fun. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Jason.